Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Pastro Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Randy Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
It is another beautiful Tuesday, November the 12th, 2024. It's Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd. This date, super significant, not for the obvious reason that there's an IZW event this weekend, but because in less than 24 hours from right now, Patrick O'Dowd will have touched ground in the city of Phoenix in the state of Arizona. We'll be reunited. And it feels so good. By this point tomorrow, we've already made out and be eating a burger. So yeah, it's real. This is a huge deal. This is,
a 10 and a half hour travel day.
Do you really? I did not know that.
What's that?
I didn't even know that. That sucks.
Yeah, well, it's my choice because I went El Cheapo with a connecting flight. So I get to spend 3 hours in scenic Nashville from 1 to 4 before flying out at 4 o'clock to get over to Phoenix to see you at around 7:30 Arizona time.
I mean,
I don't know what time zone you're in.
We are mountain.
It's not the worst thing that happened. You are mountain time.
Yes.
So not the worst. Like I don't like the flight. Wheels off the ground at like 11:30, so I'm gonna like I don't have to get up at the ass crack of dawn tomorrow or anything to drop my car off or
right.
That I'm gonna be much more wrecked flying back. Not only because I'll be sad to have departed you, but because I don't land in Hartford if everything's on time until 12:45 a.m. And that's journeying into the future, if you
it's
will.
True.
So
I dig it.
And on that trip, I'm going Phoenix to Denver, and then Denver over to. I've never been to either of these airports that I'm connecting to, so that's kind of exciting.
I know I've been to Nashville's airport. I don't know that I've been to Denver's. I'm not sure, but
I still stand by low-key. My favorite airport is Atlanta. I don't know why, but maybe it's because there's a Delta hub there, so it's a little nicer, but I like Atlanta's airport.
There you go. Not that you're flying Delta this time, because you're not.
It's a little
you'll be good. So
no, fly in the Southwest.
I dig Nashville, though. Not that you can spend a whole ton of time there, but I love Nashville. Like, I would move to Nashville someday. Like, I would.
The last time I was in Nashville, I actually spent time in Nashville because it was back in my undergraduate days.
Right.
And one of the few years that Eastern Illinois University was good at sports. And we went to our basketball team, went to the Ohio Valley
tournament,
conference championship tournament. And it was in Nashville. We made it to the semifinals before we got bounced. And so they do the semifinals and the finals there. And since we lost in the semifinals, we had an evening in Nashville before we bust back. And I went to a lovely establishment.
Okay.
Called Tiffany's. Not
yeah,
Tiffany Stratton's.
They serve drinks. They serve drinks and they have a buffet and
boobs. And
people earn money for college. People pay their college tuition there.
That's right. So, yeah. She was going to be a doctor, Greg. That's all I'm going to say.
She might be one by now. She might be a surgeon.
She could be.
She might
have no idea.
Deal with erectile dysfunction. Who knows? But she's a doctor, and you
she was
helped
definitely
her
helping with go. Erectile dysfunction 20-some years ago.
She was that day, too.
You just made the good list.
Honor. Oh, the good list, though. She looked at you. You looked at her, and a small piece of you said,
acknowledge me.
Yeah, it was the wad of cash in my hand. That's what was acknowledged. Good time.
This is tough, having too much fun. This is the best show week I've ever had. Like, normally I've quit a few times by now. I did want to quit like 2 weeks ago, but just because I always do. But this week has been great. Maybe it has. Yeah. Maybe it's because we have 9 tickets left at the time of this recording. But we are looking at getting more chairs. So hopefully we will have more than 9 tickets left. But right now we have 9 tickets left. So IZWTix.com for anybody who's listening. We will talk more about that later. But Patrick O'Dowd, I don't have the soundbite that I wished I had. Because, you know, we changed computers last year okay. and all that. But coming up here in less than 3 weeks, Thanksgiving weekend. It's the annual Thanksgiving tradition. It is WWE Survivor Series, which, of course, features War Games. We've probably talked about War Games before on this show, but I want to talk about War Games. Because as you know, and so therefore many of our loyal listeners know, I love me some War Games. Always love me some War Games.
Yes, you do.
It came out when I was a wee little kid. And always loved War Games because of it was this larger than life spectacle. 2 rings. Like, what the hell? I'd never seen 2 rings before. A cage with a roof on it. Like, this is insane. And it was the 4 horsemen and it was Dusty and Nikita and the Road Warriors and Paul Ellering. And it was a whole big thing. And War Games is here. And we have been setting up War Games on WWE television, largely between the Bloodline and the Bloodline. And we've got on one side, of course, the modern day Bloodline, the new Bloodline, Solo Sikoa. You know, Solo's not the guy, brother, but he is leading the charge of the new Bloodline, along with Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, and of course, the lightning in a bottle that if they just strap the rocket to this guy, it would go oh so far, Jacob Fatu. And on the other side, you have the OG Bloodline, which has been rebuilt over the last few weeks with Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso. And you got to do that now. You can't call it the Usos anymore. You have to say Jimmy right. Uso and Jey Uso because they are separate entities. Well, Jey is a separate entity. Jimmy still usually enters with Roman. Jey gets to enter by himself. Right. And now Sami Zayn having rejoined with the Bloodline on last week's edition of SmackDown. And that's where we are.
By the way, why, you know, you mentioned Solo Sikoa not being the guy.
Hey, yeah, let's go there.
I love that. And promo notwithstanding, the all black look, like he's just missing a fanny pack and he's basically the shitty rock photo that everybody makes fun of from the 90s. Like, dude, like he's just, it's not just that he's not the guy in terms of like, his promo abilities. Like I watched SmackDown for the first time in a long time and just looking at the dude, I'm like, this guy, this is the guy who's still in show. Like, this is the monster. Like he's not the monster.
Right.
He's not anything.
No. And he just, I mean, I liked him in the role he was in. I don't think he's ready.
Not ready, or is it that he's just not? That's just not a role he's going to be good at.
I mean, okay. If I had to make the decision today, I would say it's just not a role he's good at. I also never saw Cody Rhodes as a WrestleMania main eventer when he left the company as Stardust. And here we are. So Solo could be the guy, brother, at some point. I think he got pulled up from NXT too quickly because of the Bloodline storyline. And he was great as the enforcer. Yeah. He was great as that sub-level character. But then you thrust him into the leadership role. Like, it could have been Jimmy, but Jimmy also had a legitimate injury, and so there was that. Jay was way too popular and needed to be on his own as a solo. Not so, I guess I shouldn't use the word solo in this argument, but as a single superstar, of course, eventually won the Intercontinental Championship. So it was Solo or nobody, I guess, because The Rock wasn't going to be around every week. Unless you just brought in like Tama Tonga and let him be the talking piece. And maybe that would have been better than Solo, hindsight being 2020. And of course, nobody saw Jacob Fatu coming in the way he took off in WWE, although people will tell you they did. So yeah, it just hasn't gone the way. And I guess it would have worked better had Heyman turned heel, but
yeah.
Would anyone have gone for it if Heyman turned heel, or would the fans have rejected Heyman turning heel? Heyman is a brilliant man, and so Heyman would have made it work. But if I could have changed anything, I think that's the only thing I can change. Sammy's not going to do it. I mean, maybe you could. I guess Sammy and Heyman could have both garnered the same reaction. So Sammy trying to become the tribal chief would have been amazing. But it needed to be a Samoan, you know?
I don't think the audience would have thought it would have been amazing. I think the audience would have shit on it and made it goofy.
It's like, remember the old NWO argument, like, it was going to be Hogan or Sting. And had it been Sting, it wouldn't have been the same. And it may not have reached the level that it reached to where we, like, if Sting was the leader of the NWO, I don't know that we would still be seeing NWO t-shirts. I don't know if the Young Bucks would be too sweeting everybody in 2024. Had Sting been the leader of the NWO, it really had to be Hogan in the long run. And I know nobody wants to talk about Hogan these days, but that's not what we're here for.
But he was, I mean, to further your point, it's the transcendent, he was a transcendent athlete or transcendent wrestler in particular. Like, everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is. I love Sting, and Sting was Mr. WCW. So storyline wise, it makes sense, but WCW Sting turning his back on WCW just keeps WCW where they are,
right?
And doesn't, like, it's a good story. It would have been complimented. Like, we would have, like, you would have liked it as a WCW fan if you were a WCW fan, but like, that didn't flip the channel. That didn't, like, Hulk Hogan turning heel brought me back to wrestling. Like, I wasn't watching wrestling, and then I was like, whoa, Hulk Hogan's a bad guy.
Yeah,
like, it's exactly what Eric Bischoff wanted.
And not only that, but here's the other thing that people don't really talk about. And maybe I'm brilliant for bringing this up, although I'm sure somebody somewhere sometime brought it up. If Sting's the leader of the NWO, it probably lasts less than a year, and it's probably taken down by Hulk Hogan. So, and then it's just this short-term storyline. At least it has a definitive end, which it never really had, but it never would have reached the heights that it reached. It just always had to be Hogan. There's just no other way around it.
Right.
So let's say instead of the Bloodline, instead of the new Bloodline, Solo was part of a group fronted by, I don't know, a heel LA Knight.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would have worked. It wouldn't have just been Solo. Maybe you brought in some other heels and had them run roughshod. And then they took out Roman. They took out Jimmy. They took out whoever along with Solo. And now the OG Bloodline comes back, and we've got Solo in a group led by LA Knight with two other guys against the Bloodline in War Games. I'm cool with that too. Like,
yeah,
it's just, I think Solo doesn't do it.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead. No,
I think it was just so intertwined with the Bloodline piece. Like, that was even the thing that happened on SmackDown this week in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
Is before Roman caves, he's pointing at Sammy and saying, he's not one of us. He's not,
right,
you know, he's not of our blood. Like, it was very much still sticking with the Bloodline theme. And so I think that it further, like, to just extrapolate on the example that you said, while it would be awesome and cool and different and unique, and maybe that's what this story needs at this point. I don't know. I don't buy that, but it also narratively pushes a boundary a little bit. Like, I don't know if you're, if this is where you want to go, if you're waiting until it gets closer. I really hope that the new bloodline gets another W at Survivor Series. I don't think it'll happen, but I would love it if it did, because I am more than a little concerned for the four of those guys, all four of them.
Right.
Even with the, you know, the money you see in young Mr. Fatu.
Yeah.
That's relatively speaking. If they lose, or and how they lose, could be tough for those four moving forward.
Now, I don't think it will.
Which is different. I'm not saying they're going to get buried. I'm not using that term.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
I think it's a lot to overcome, and I get it. I know we're going to Roman and The Rock, like that's next.
I don't know.
Ish, I mean, it's gonna happen, right?
Eventually. You got to think it's going to happen eventually. Solo, by the way, is 31. Jacob's 32. So right. they'll be fine.
Like I said, it's relative. Like, they're not old, but...
Like, Tamatanga's 42. So I think he's the oldest of everybody involved in this whole thing.
Well, he wrestled in Japan for like a million years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Tongaloa is 41. So he's the adopted brother anyway. I am interested to see what happens after this. I still believe, because here's the thing. Remember, this War Games match and that terrible promo that Solo did on SmackDown 2 weeks ago was spawned by Roman challenging Solo to where the winner would become the tribal chief. And Solo laughed at him and made it about War Games. Now, of course, Solo forgot to say the words War Games. So Roman had to be like, "You talking about War Games?" Which, you know, again, poor Solo. But that was Roman at one point cutting promos, too. And here we are. So Solo might still have a chance. Write him off just yet.
Have a body of a Greek god, Solo.
Yeah, well, he's not half Italian like Roman is. So he's full Samoan, and that's just fine. I mean, look at Jimmy and Jay. Like, Jimmy's in the best shape of his life, and he's just not ripped at all. So Jimmy might be the best shape of any Samoan we've seen who's fully Samoan. So.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, The Rock is, you know, half black, and look at him. He's half black, half Samoan, half every amount of steroids you can find. But he's The Rock for a reason.
What? Yeah.
But remember, when The Rock was at his peak of wrestling before he left, he had the Samoan body. So, but he was still in, you know, he had the best form of a Samoan body, this side of Jey Uso, or the other better side of Jey Uso. But anyway. I think they'll be okay. But I think that the new bloodline or the OG bloodline is going to win this, which is then going to lead us down the road of Roman versus Solo, eventually for the role of tribal chief. And maybe that is maybe they do that at the Royal Rumble instead of WrestleMania. Because I could see a world where we get Roman and Solo at WrestleMania and Cody and The Rock at WrestleMania. But maybe we get Roman beat Solo at the Royal Rumble to become the tribal chief. And then The Rock shows up and he's like, "You didn't beat the tribal chief to win that. You got to beat me." And that sets up Roman and Rock at WrestleMania. Who knows? Or maybe we're getting... I don't want Cody and Rock. I want Cody so far away from this thing, it's not even funny. I want Cody and Randy at WrestleMania. So, or Cody and Cena at WrestleMania. I'll take any of it.
I want Cody to matter at WrestleMania.
You want what?
I want Cody to matter in WrestleMania.
Yeah, because so far he ain't. So,
I haven't watched Raw this week yet. I actually may watch it actually after we get off this call, because I'm gonna rush to get up tomorrow.
It's good. The 2 hour Raw has really been working for me. Just to say. So 2 hour Raw has definitely been working for me. But I so that's kind of where I'm sitting at with this whole bloodline storyline, all that stuff. But my problem is a little bit deeper than that with this. Like, I love the bloodline versus bloodline. I'm here for it. I've seen like fan-made posters and maybe WWE-made posters. They look amazing. Like, everything aligns perfectly. So why overthink this? Why make it stupid? We've done 4v4 plenty of times in War Games. Now, all of a sudden, we feel this need to be 5v5, and we got a shoehorn. You'll see it when you watch Raw. Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins into the match? Like, I just don't need that. I just, and that's where we're headed, because they've all tried to recruit. They're everybody was on the recruiting trail on Raw this week. And I've already read the spoilers and it seems like Reed, you know, Seth Rollins told everybody, he told Solo. He was just like, he told Jay, he was like, no, you're on your own. I'm never going to team with Roman. Then he told Solo, like, yeah, I'm never going to team with Roman, but I sure as hell have no interest in ever teaming with you either. But then they get with Bronson Reed. And I guess on Raw, Bronson Reed attacks Seth Rollins. And then Solo is raising Bronson's hand after this attack, kind of signifying that Solo has their fifth man in Bronson Reed, which means, of course, Rollins will then join up with Reigns and company for that. And look, if that ever gets me to finally seeing Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, I will be a happy Greg DeMarco. But
you did see Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
No, I didn't.
Versus Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yes, you're right. So after the cash-in, right. But no, like, that's the match I've wanted for the past 2 years. No offense, Cody.
I know.
But they didn't do it, and that's fine. And it worked out. The company's doing amazing numbers, so it's all good. And Seth got his WrestleMania main event, you know, thanks to a tag team match night one this past year. We should have gone to the women, but that's a whole other argument that we can make for a whole other day. So how do you feel? Like, is 5v5 that traditional War Games match? Which, by the way, initially when War Games happened, it was 5v5, including the managers. We had J.J. Dillon on one team and Paul Ellering on the other. So we were including the managers in all of this. Is 5v5 more important than 4v4 within the storyline?
No, to me, 4v4 within the storyline. Like, you spoiled what's going to happen. And I don't know how well you can see my face on the Skype camera, but it was not.
You've been off video the entire time we've been talking before and during the show, so you're fine.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, you can't see me right now?
No, all I see is Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues.
Really?
Yes, sir.
That's weird. It shows me as camera'd up.
No.
Now it shows me as Stanley Cup champion, St. Louis Blues. There you go. That's weird.
You good, sir? You're fine. Yeah, no, I figured you were doing it on purpose because of whatever reason.
No, I swear I didn't know that my camera wasn't showing because it looks like I'm having a video call. Anyway, that's irrelevant. What is relevant is...
now you're back.
What?
Now you're on video.
Huh. Weird. I hit the button a couple times. Now I'm also sure that... Yeah, it felt so. While you were talking about this, and clearly you didn't see my face because you just said you didn't. It was befuddled. It was very confused, and it just. Yeah, I think you used the word shoehorn.
Yes.
Shoehorned him in or something like that. It does. It feels that sounds without watching it, and I haven't watched it yet. It sounds very forced. It sounds very much like we want to put Seth Rollins in particular and maybe giving Bronson Reed a tangential rub by being up in a main event. It also, because we're doing this for Survivor Series, it does also harken back to, but Survivor Series has had 4-on-4s, 5-on-5s. Mm-hmm. They've done that too. So really the number hasn't mattered. I don't know why it matters now.
Somebody brought up like the 91 or 92 Survivor Series and I went and looked up the results. Had a 3v3 elimination match, which I didn't remember at all. And I guess it was because of some injuries that took place or something like that. So,
I remember the 3v5 because that's the Hulk and Warrior Tito Santana, where Tito Santana eliminated one guy. He took care of the Warlord and then it was immediately eliminated by Rick Martel.
And then it was all Hogan Warrior. Hey, at least it was Rick Martel that eliminated him. It was Rick Martel. That's some good booking.
Right, you know there. What? Again, narratively makes sense. I think it was Rick Martel. But you look at this and they're completely unnecessary as part of the matches. Yeah. Like, they have no stake in what's going on between the bloodline. It really feels like Seth Rollins of all people. I don't know how far the evolution of his feud with Bronson Reed has gotten. But is the blood really so bad between the two of them that he would be like, yeah, you know what? Let me involve myself in this family squabble that's going on, that's going to War Games. Let me put myself in the match beyond to risk life and limb, if you will, in what's, you know, supposed to be the, you know, this brutal match.
Which, God bless Corey Graves for being the only person who still uses the phrase "the match beyond." Thank you, Corey Graves.
Right. Good job. Continue. Good on you.
Good on you, Corey Graves.
So those are the, to me, it's a placation thing. I don't even know if it's a placation thing.
It feels like Triple H needing a 5v5. It feels like Triple H needs a 5v5. Like, cause they had 5v5 before with Sammy as part of it. So yeah, it just feels like Triple H needed that. And I just don't like it, but it is what it is, right?
I can pull out my best of War Games DVD collection and show him the 4v4s that work just fine.
Yeah, I mean, was he ever in a War Games match, Triple H? I don't think he was. No, he wasn't.
No, because he wasn't ever.
Yeah, he was long. Yeah,
he was never in WCW long enough to get to the point where he could beat.
It's why he invented Elimination Chamber.
Right. I think you're right. I think it's more Triple H being like, no, this is what War Games has to be. So we're going to do
right. War Games must be this, and women must not main event. That's Triple H. So, yeah.
Hogan must pose.
Triple H must spew water. Yeah. Hunter must spew. Right. So, all right. So I've got some other War Games related questions, but we're going to go to commercial. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk, we're going to flip the script a little bit on War Games because I have another pointed question like I just did with the 4v4 versus 5v5. And by the way, if it's not obvious, I would take storyline 4v4 over traditional 5v5 if it doesn't fit the storyline, you know, 6 days a week and twice on Sunday, as they say. So give that to me, inject it into my veins, and I'll be fine. So, all right, going to commercial. Be right back.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Patrick O'Dowd, you know what time of the show it is. It's time for the old school theme of the week. And this week, I've been saving this one for a few weeks. Let's just say that.
I am perfection. Perfection. I am perfection. So take your best shot. Give it all you got. Try it all. Some things are exactly what they seem.
Acknowledge me.
That, of course, being the original theme song for one Dolph Ziggler. We used to do the Ziggler tracker very program. Maybe we'll be stupid and tell him about that on Saturday. We probably won't. But here we are, we're less than 24 hours away from you touching down in Phoenix, Arizona. And this weekend, you will get to meet and watch wrestle up close and personal, more close and personal than ever before. The Wanted Man, Nick Nemeth, as he is part of the main event of IZW Looks That Kill, which if you know Dolph Ziggler, he's a huge Motley Crue fan. That's why that's the name of the show. Will be challenging the current TNA World Champion, or Nick Nemeth, will be challenging for the IZW Heavyweight Championship against the champion, Evan Main Event Daniels, the Emperor Bryce Saturn, and the longest reigning IZW champion in history of any championship in IZW, Thugnificent, in a fatal four-way match. One fall, the winner leaves as the IZW heavyweight champion, and so much more. We're crowning a new women's champion as that title is vacant due to injury when Alice Blair battles Morgan, who is taking control of the title but did not name herself champion. Parada versus Damian Desire for the vacant IZW 3D Sports Fighting Championship because Jacob Austin Young got a major opportunity in New Japan Pro Wrestling as a member of the United Empire, had to vacate that title. The IZW Tag Team Championships will be on the line. We've promised that, but we don't know who will be wrestling against Affirmative Action, Project West, and The Shade, because they just kind of do their own thing and do whatever the hell they want. And if you saw their latest promo, you know that DeShay doesn't think they should defend the titles, and West doesn't care as long as there are tacos from the food truck, which will be outside of Bullshooters during our event. Also, the what's it called? I just had a brain fart. United Wrestling, which is, of course, you know, championship wrestling from Hollywood, Memphis, all of that. Their Arizona State Heavyweight Championship will be on the line as Ray Rosas defends against three-time Arizona State Heavyweight Champion EJ Sparks as part of our event as well. All that and more. We've got other great matches on the main card. We've got a stacked VIP card as well. Those tickets have been long gone. But at the time of this recording, unless I have an email in my inbox of a ticket sale, we have 9 tickets remaining for this event. So jump online, go to izwtix.com, pick up your tickets. 9 tickets left for Saturday, November 16th, Bullshooters in Phoenix, 35th Avenue and Peoria. We might rent more chairs. We are looking into that. However, maybe we will, maybe we won't. So if I were you, I would try to grab one of those last 9 tickets, and then the event will be sold out likely, and we will move forward with a packed house. Cannot wait to bring everybody to this event. So excited that we are lucky enough to have Nick Nemeth. Also, if you want to meet Nick Nemeth in person, go to 3dsignings.com. That's 3D, the number and the letter. 3dsignings.com for 3D sports cards and collectibles. They are hosting a signing with Nick Nemeth from 1 to 3 in their location at 53rd and Bell. It's a beautiful brand new store that they moved into over the summer. Your ticket signing tickets are available there to meet Nick Nemeth, get some autographs, spend some time with the man, and then come out and see some wrestling. So very excited about what's to come, what the future holds for this event and for our company. So come check it out. Come be a part of history. The biggest event we've ever done. It's already going to be the biggest crowd we've ever had. So yeah, don't miss it. Don't miss it out whatsoever. So, and if all that's not enough, if everything I've told you, plus the fact that, you know, show favorite Miranda Morales, who's been on the show with us before, and maybe someday will be again, depending on her child, former show co-host Heather Lynn will be in the house as well, holding a microphone, doing interviews. And if none of that works for you, well, fuck. The wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd will be in the house, and you could meet Patrick O'Dowd, shake his hand, buy him a drink, because there it is a bar. And when I say it's a bar, it has an arena in it that holds hundreds of people. So don't think that this is a bar show. It's not a bar show, but you will have food and drink available to you. But yeah, you can meet Patrick O'Dowd as well. So I don't know what else I can tell you. I mean, if Nick Nemeth wasn't enough, then I don't know what's wrong with you. But now Patrick O'Dowd as well, like, you should come to this and, know, and be right? A part of it all.
Cherry on top.
So we got the ice cream is Nick Nemeth. Ice cream is Nick Nemeth. The whipped cream is Heather Lynn and Miranda Morales. And the cherry on top is the wrestling realist Patrick O'Dowd. I'll be there too, but who gives a fuck about me? I stay in the background. Although you will hear from me at some point in the evening as we set some things up too. But we got, if you're a merch person, we got a brand new t-shirt design. We got so much good stuff coming. So come be a part of it.
You're not going to pull a Tony Khan, are you?
And do what? Greg DeMarco's big announcement.
Like, stand in the entryway and thank all of your loyal.
I'm going to do it in the ring.
Fans, what?
I'm going to do it in the ring. So yeah.
And then, well, no. You have to come out at intermission too, You have to come out at the end of the show.
I will spoiler alert everybody. I will spoiler alert you right now. I come out before intermission. There's even more after me before you get to intermission.
So, oh boy!
There you go. But I won't be there long. But
all of it, Greg.
Business metrics have shown when Greg does some talking, we sell more tickets. So,
all right.
I'm just saying,
sell more tickets, Greg.
I'm just saying.
You got to do what you got to do.
That's right. It's a business.
You are a promoter.
Wrestling is a business first, second, last, third, everything. Wrestling is a business.
Clearly, because I'm this
bitch.
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 I'm sorry, Patrick. Continue.
I'm just saying, you're always selling, which is good. Or not selling. You're always promoting, which is good. On a nationwide podcast for a local wrestling show.
Exactly.
It's your show.
It's my show. So we've been talking about War Games, but I do want to flip things around a little bit and talk about War Games. The women's side of War Games. Because now we have people complaining that the women's situation is even worse. Because every time we've had a women's War Games, it's been termed an all-star match. Usually it does involve storylines, but it's the congruence of more than one storyline. Because we largely don't have two factions of women warring to the point that necessitates War Games. So I want to ask that same question. What's better? Multiple storylines mushed together so we can have a women's War Games, or no women's War Games at all and only having one War Games match?
For me, personal option B, because again, when something feels slapdash and thrown together, people are going to call it as such.
Right.
And that's kind of like, you just pointed out, like, yes, all the people in here have beef, but why do those people have any reason to be together in a War Games match? What brought them together to the extent where it needed to be settled in War Games? And like, Craig, you started off the show talking about how much you love the War Games match. Back when, and again, different era, so I want to note that for a long time, there were tons of War Games matches that happened. The thing is, nobody saw them except for the local crowd that would be there. Right. Like the Great American Bash Tour would have like a War Games match.
Yeah, I went to one as a kid, yeah.
To every one of those. But when we shifted eras to, you know, the era of the pay-per-view and the televised, you know, the premium live event, the War Game matches, the people that were together facing off, both sides had a reason to be together to face the other one.
Right.
Like the way those stories were crafted. And much like some of the other matches, like, again, I'm going to go to not Survivor Series, but the SmackDown versus Raw. Well, it was a Survivor. They did it in Survivor Series, right? Where like it was brand versus brand.
Yeah.
They've also done it. They've also done it for, they had, it had its own pay-per-view for a while too.
Bragging rights. Yeah.
Bragging rights. You know, it's almost like a bragging rights match when it turns into like, oh, these people are together for brand loyalty or whatever. These people are only together on one side of the cage, you know, or one side of the match because the person that they're feuding with is on the other side. And that doesn't seem like a reason to put a team together to do War Games. War Games, in my opinion, and maybe this is an old man opinion, should be more than an attraction match that we put on because we feel we have to do it. And we have to do it for the women. And if you truly wanted to do a War Games match, like when Damage Control is at its peak, and that's a faction, you know, having a group of folks that Damage Control has fucked with be the other side makes a lot more sense as opposed to, well, you know, Nia and Tiffany are hanging out together, so they should be on one side, and yeah, you know, just throw it up there. Like,
yeah, because that's basically what you've got going on, right? You've got Liv and Raquel who are fighting, yep, with, you know, and both sets of champions and sidekicks fought the tag champs on consecutive episodes of Raw or SmackDown and then Raw. And then Nia interfered. And we also had the Liv and Nia connection because of Crown Jewel. So that, like, at least the thrown together aspect of this women's War Games makes a little more sense than some of the other ones have. And let's be honest, sure, like the initial War Games was more like, we hate Dusty, so Dusty's got to put a team together that only had an issue with the Horsemen at the time because of Dusty. So we could have done some of that, but like, there have been some amazing moments in War Games match. Most of them have involved Io Sky diving with a trash can over her, doing whatever else. And here we are. Io Sky is going to be in this one without the rest of Damage Control, it seems. So I'm a little upset about that, but maybe that'll change. Who knows? Because you've also got the women's tag champs. You've also got Naomi. So that's three right there. Io Sky makes four, and I can't remember who five is. But oh, Rhea Ripley is going to be five. But spoiler alert if you haven't seen the Raw spoilers yet. And maybe the rest of Damage Control will somehow get involved. Who knows? But like, at least there are storyline or reasons for all these people to be together, and it's not just an all-star match. There were some later WCW War Games as part of like Fall Brawl, yeah, or whatever, that were simply all-star matches. And
right, Right.
And they would ignite a feud because the match was announced. And that's the old WrestleMania philosophy, too, from back when the single-digit WrestleManias. So
what was the last truly meaningful War Games to me? And I know there was another good narrative one with Piper's team. I think that was a War Games one, right?
I think so, yeah.
Because it was is Sting turning, you know, right. is he with the NWO or not? They had this, that was the whole thread. Whose side is he on? You had Sting come out of the limo. You had Lex Luger pointing the finger and saying, I know it was you. And so you had Arn and Flair and Luger and supposedly Sting. And then you had Hall, Nash, Hogan, and a mystery guy who gives us their first true, like, wrestling of fake Sting.
Right.
Like, that was a great story. And it was just so... it was well done, and that was to me sort of the last meaningful War Games, because I think the one with Piper and ended up being Piper and the Horseman would lead to Piper feuding with Flair. Like, that's what they got out of that, and I think it was over fighting for control of WCW at the time. Like, it was dumb, but it still had a unifying story, but it wasn't peak War Games. Like, it wasn't peak War Games in that era, I should say, right. In that era.
I agree. Yeah, there was, to me, the last War Games that I really remember in WCW was NWO against the Horsemen, when Mr. Perfect turned and, you know, Ric Flair was put in the hospital. So that's the last one to me. But, you know, we lived through a lot of Undisputed Era War Games in NXT days, which, of course, I loved. And a lot of their opposition teams were thrown together. We had Kevin Owens opposing them one year as like a surprise fill-in. Like, there's a lot, so I'm okay with some of it. But you know me. I've been pounding the table for better women's wrestling treatment in WWE under Triple H's leadership. A WrestleMania main event for the women at some point. Just more pay-per-view main events in general. PLE main events in general. They've had one, and that was Rhea Ripley in Australia. So I will continue to pound that table. So I will take that over nothing. If sure. I had the book or if I had the ability to make that decision, and I don't, but it is what it is. Look, Triple H's run, not perfect, and nobody's run is going to be perfect, but he's got these glaring,
blind spots,
favoritism. I don't know what to call it that really shows up, in some of these bookings. And for me, it's a lot to do with the women. And people say, well, the women, who are they, whatever. Like, I'm sorry. You hear the reaction Io Sky gets. Like, she could be a main eventer. Bianca Belair could be a main eventer. They've built up Nia Jax to be this machine. She could easily oppose a babyface main eventer. Like, Becky Lynch will be back at some point. Charlotte Flair will be back at some point. Meech and Mia Yim is the main eventer waiting to happen. Like, you just got to pull the trigger like you're willing to do with the Cody Rhodes, with a Damian Priest, with a Gunther. But look how they built up Gunther. You could build up a woman like you built up Gunther. You could very easily do that. You're just choosing not to. And that's fine. That's
you just mentioned it. Could you do the Gunther run with Meech and?
I don't know if you could do the Gunther specific run because he's a little bit bigger. But you could have her go on this undefeated streak, especially now that you've got a Women's United States Championship on SmackDown, which is the brand she's on. Let her run with that title for a year and a half, drop it, win Queen of the Ring, go on and win a Women's Championship. She would be definitely the top of the card. Like, she's over. Well, she's everything.
I don't know that you have to make her a monster, right? Like, you don't have to do that. But, like, you can do... And maybe I'm speaking out of turn with her technical prowess, but you could do like a Ring General-esque style winner with her. Like, that could be the kind of run.
She's more of a Street Fighter gimmick these days.
Classes her opponents.
Yeah, she's got more of that Street Fighter gimmick. She's got more of like a Street Fighter-esque gimmick to her now. Like, not the video game, but just like a person fighting on the streets.
So go Stone Cold.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually the perfect... Like, if any woman could be Stone Cold, it's Mia Yim. Like, it totally is. And I would love to see it. I think she's got the talent. I think she's got the look. She's over. People immediately buy into her with anything that they ever give her. And they have given her some stuff. Like, she won a street fight, and she was over. And it's like, she did the dumpster match, I think, with Chelsea Green. Like, she's done everything that you can do. You just got to be willing to do it. It's... it's just a willingness. It's like Christopher Daniels said years ago on this program when we asked him what it would take to be for him to be world champion. Of course, later he was a world champion. He was like, that's up to the bookers. It's not up to me. So that's what somebody says. Well, actually, we asked him why Kazarian hasn't been a world champion, and he said that.
Right.
But
we asked about Kazarian.
I mean, that's, you know, that's the position that we're in these days with someone like that. I think everyone says, oh, well, they don't have anybody. That to me is someone that would obviously never book or promote wrestling events, because you got to see it in your talent before they get there. And then you got to get them there, and you got to be smart enough to realize, you know, you got to be smart enough to realize Solo's not the guy, brother, and be willing, or maybe I'll be proven wrong. Right. And Solo will be the guy, and their eye was better than mine. Who knows? But Mi Chin to me is a great example that you know, you ended up bringing up and going into. I think you could do it with Naomi. They'll do it with Tiffany Stratton at some point, but will she main event at WrestleMania? Who knows? But they'll bring all these people back and do great things. For all we know, 3 years from now, Zoe Stark could be top of the women's division. She's got the talent. She's got to learn how to talk.
Yeah.
Like, and she probably will.
Right.
Mi Chin's got it all, in my opinion, and maybe I'm biased because I'm a fan of hers. Who knows? But I think the Women's United States Championship is a step in the right direction, and I'm surprised that we didn't already get the announcement of a Women's Intercontinental Championship on Raw, because that's what we do. We have to right. mix and match.
You got to have one on each brand.
I mean, like I said, you know, SmackDown main event, Women's Tag Champs versus Women's Champ and Sidekick. Raw main event, Women's Tag Champs versus Women Champ and Sidekick. So.
Let the U.S. Championship marinate a week or two. I'm sure the Intercontinental belt's coming a long way.
Yeah.
Let the U.S. title have its chance to breathe.
Agreed.
Move it. Yeah, give it its spotlight. So.
And that's why, you know what? Call up Shawn Michaels, bring him over to the main roster, let him book the women, and he'll, because he's proven in NXT that he knows how to book the women and give the women equal and even more so opportunities. You know, let Sean cook, as people say.
The social media difference between like what they highlight out of NXT versus what they highlight out of Raw and SmackDown is very telling.
Oh yeah,
like it's very telling.
It's crazy, and they do. And NXT has a head writer that's not Shawn Michaels. His name is Johnny something. I actually follow him on one of the forms of social media. Right. Probably out of jealousy, professional jealousy, but, dude is obviously doing a great job there too. Like NXT is killing it and just doing a phenomenal job. And good for them. Good for everybody there. Cause they are making it happen. And that's where we are. So yeah, Mi Chin should win the Women's United States Championship. And that's how it all fits into our War Games conversation here on this program. Cause that's what we do.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes.
All right, Patrick O'Dowd, we know that War Games is coming. We also have in December Saturday night's main event. And I'm excited about Saturday night's main event because I'm sure you could describe this feeling better than I can, because when it comes to words and stuff, you're smarter than me. When I hear Saturday Night's Main Event and I hear the music, I get that feeling of being a little kid when you just happen to be watching NBC and you see the commercial and you're like, this is on tonight instead of Saturday Night Live. I got to go program the VCR because my mom doesn't know how, and record this. And hopefully, you know, 3 out of every 5 times it actually works and I get to watch Saturday Night's Main Event. Like as a kid, that bonus wrestling was, plus we were watching all jobber matches, all enhancement matches, all building matches on our television shows.
But that was not Saturday Night Main Event.
Exactly. Those were actual legit matches. And I love the 90-minute format where usually it started with the biggest match. And it's, you know, I just look back and like, I have fond memories of Saturday Night's Main Event and I'm very excited for what's to come in December. I really am. So a lot of people thought they were going to do Gunther and Damian Priest there, but they're doing it at Survivor Series. Who knows? You're talking about Solo and Cody. They're going to make it big. I think it's great. But like, to me, they used to do the old school Raw with the old WWE logo and the red, white, and blue ropes, whatever. But it was, I think this is going to, my gut instinct, and I have nothing else to go on, I think this is going to be old school done better than that, in my opinion.
Old school done new.
No, I think the old school Raw is too much old school done new. No, actually, I take that back. You're right. Like, now as I think about the old school Raw with the old graphics and everything, like, it really was just old overlaid on top of it. I do think it'll be old school done new. I think you're actually right. I take it all back.
Right. You know, get that ring apron. You got to have the ring apron. Set it on. Right. I'm not crazy on that. Right. The ring apron used to have the...
It would be the blue ring apron, and then they would just put the Saturday Night's Main Event, because it was usually taped during a TV taping. Yeah. Because they would tape it during that week's TV taping on, like, Tuesday, and then it would air that weekend on Saturday. So.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what Trips and company are going to do with it. Yeah. You know, we'll have to wait and see. I can say that I definitely... I'm trying to think, like, the sort of the, like, just the brimming with anticipation when you knew that was a night that you were where you were going to get a wrestling show on a Saturday. My parents would actually let me stay up.
Yeah,
like that was the thing. Is like that was the other thing. Is it was just special.
Well, it was 10:30 for you,
right? So. But it was just straight up special, because you know when you're eight, I didn't, like, my parents had a pretty strict bedtime, like,
right,
for the longest time. So 10:30 was like a huge deal, even if it was a Saturday. I didn't have school the next day, and then, you know, sometimes you didn't, like, I was so, like, I was young sometimes where I didn't make it to the end of the show, like, I'd fall asleep before the end of the show.
And I think they knew that, and that's why they front loaded it.
Right. Well, it's a really clever thing, to do that front load, because you're going to pop the huge viewership to start, and as it goes later and later, and you lose viewership, people are going to miss less as they tune out. So, very, very, very well done way to do it. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing what it's like. I hope it is made to feel special. Right. I hope it is made to feel as special as you remember it from your childhood when you were but a little DeMarco.
Me too. So let me ask you this. Knowing that we've kind of gone a little bit away from the monthly pay-per-view model, right? We'll end up having two in November because of Crown Jewel and Survivor Series. That's the only one in December except for NXT Deadline. Saturday Night's Main Event, I think at its height, was like quarterly, like four, maybe at most five times a year. How many times a year do you think they could do Saturday Night's Main Event and it still be a special enough show?
I like quarterly.
Right.
Like, I think you could do four a year and it would still feel special, especially if there's less. I think you could go as low as two if you spread them out right so that they don't feel like they're on top of each other. But,
because currently... You know, four thirds. Currently, there's no... I agree with you.
Go more than four.
To me, it has to be in a month that doesn't really have anything else, which is hard because right now it's December. On the calendar right now, it's December and January that don't have anything because Royal Rumble's in February now. Now, maybe they'll do day one again. I don't know. We haven't really heard anything. They are flipping over to Netflix at the start of the year, so who really knows? But and NXT has something in December. Maybe they'll do something in January.
What's the dead summer period? Like, when you're really just trying to get to SummerSlam?
Like July, like typically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now you have King and Queen of the Ring, which will be following WrestleMania after Backlash or whatever. Because those winners then went to SummerSlam. SummerSlam now is in earlier August. So that's the other thing, too. Like, SummerSlam's in early August. WrestleMania's in late April. So you got May, June, and July where you have Backlash, Money in the Bank, and Saudi Arabia all smashed in there. You've got February Royal Rumble, March Elimination Chamber. Then you got April WrestleMania. You could they usually did like a Saturday Night's Main Event before WrestleMania. You could potentially do something like that because you are building a two-night WrestleMania and soon a two-night SummerSlam. Yeah, it's just the calendar's just weird. Like, what do you do with January?
Like, looking at the calendar you have, I would do it twice.
Yeah. I agree. Because you have the NXT events as well. The NXT events fill in too. And so, yeah, the calendar's just gotten weird because of because of the way that they go international. They've changed some of the major tentpole event dates. So, yeah, the calendar has definitely gotten weird. So, yeah, who knows? Well, we will find out in a few weeks. I believe that's what, December 14th, December 15th is when that is. So
somewhere there, yeah.
We will see it, and we will enjoy it, and it will be great. But that, my friends, is going to do it for this week's edition of the Greg DeMarco Show, as I got a bunch of work to do tonight for IZW. And Patrick Riddell's got to pack and get on a fucking plane and get out here so we can have a lot of fun over the next few days. So I am extremely excited to see your bitch ass in Arizona and take you to Carl's Jr. and put on a wrestling show and make you set up chairs and everything else that we could possibly do. And to be like, hey, I need you to do this. And you to look at me like, huh?
I'm on vacation.
Okay. But it'll be fun. And I'm excited and I can't wait to do it. And we might record some content while Patrick is out here. I'm mentally working on a way to do guerrilla style on the cell phone recorder content, low quality, but high, or low audio quality, but high content quality as we just have a blast.
I've been watching a lot of YouTube vloggers. I think there's some tech out there we can get some better mics.
We got a guy, man. We got a guy, but yeah, we're not going to do that by tomorrow. So it's
That's true. Hey, here's the thing: as long as you don't like catch me singing, I think we'll be fine.
No, I won't record that. If we do the karaoke thing on Thursday, which I know the guy really hopes we do, I won't record.
He hopes you won't.
He hopes we will. I told him we might come. He's like, oh my God, I hope so. So he's also our new, so pulling back the curtain, the guy who runs this karaoke that Patrick wants to go to now that he knows about it is also running sound for us on Saturday in IZW for the first time. He helped out the last event. Yeah, he should. He helped out at the last event, but a normal sound guy isn't there, so he's going to be doing sound this time. He's friends with our guy who runs, you know, the computer element of the sound. They're also bringing in some lighting. Like, I'm very excited about what we're doing. Our video production, we've got a bunch of different options that have been coming in and out. A lot of good things just on the production side for IZW as well. God, who knows? Maybe by this time next year, I won't be able to call it the best kept secret in independent wrestling. Who knows? But that's been our tagline all. Yeah, maybe not. I kind of like being that gritty. Best kept secret. So,
because we're still successful, act like an underdog and just not be an underdog. True. That's all I'm saying.
True. But if you want to follow along, maybe Patrick will tweet about it. Go to at Wrestling Realist. It's WRESTLNGREALIST. I'm at Greg DeMarco 44. The website is at Chairshot Media for sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. All to chairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
But until all of that, stay tuned. Find out the adventures that we go on this weekend with Patrick O'Dowd and Greg DeMarco and friends at IZW Looks That Kill, IZWTix.com. Pick up your tickets to see former two-time WWE champion, future WWE Hall of Famer. Come on, let's call it what it is. And current, you know, as Dolph Ziggler, and current TNA World Champion Nick Nemeth as he electrifies the crowd at Bullshooters at IZW Looks That Kill. I'm very excited, and I can't wait. I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world. Come on. Bring it on.
What I see, better watch what I do. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Bitch.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.